What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Rip City Rundown podcast. This is the first podcast in a while. It's been a while since we have said those words. You saw the Scoot Henderson video in late December. That was a Blazer video. If you're listening on Spotify, you might have seen that on our YouTube channel. But it's been since, I want to say, late October, early November that we've recorded a podcast. Of course, we have our other endeavors, RCR Trivia. If you haven't checked that out already, make sure to go check it out on TikTok or Instagram. It's back on TikTok, which you love to see. And if you haven't seen already our new RCR show where we talk NBA, we do trivia. That's going to be weekly, maybe every other week. We just dropped episode one last Thursday. We've got episode two coming out this Thursday. And we're going to be talking about our top 10 players along with doing our trivia that we always do. Main topics or main points of discussion today is going to be Scoot Henderson. Because these last couple weeks, specifically these last couple games, have been some of the best basketball. Actually, I'm just going to straight up say the best basketball of his career. We're nearing the trade deadline, so we'll discuss that. And then we'll just discuss the Blazers as a whole because we haven't done it in a while. West, we're going to start off with Scoot Henderson. You probably had the most belief. You probably were the most patient with him of the three of us specifically. Where are you at after seeing these last couple games?
Well, I feel a little validated. I'll start with that. Like, it feels good because we've, like you said, we've never really talked about Scoot in a good light. I guess we did when he got drafted, but that was all projection and like hope. Partly because he was a great prospect and partly because we were just really praying he'd just slot in the Dame spot, which was of course unrealistic. But yeah, I mean, I'll just read out some stats for you. Just right off the top, just so people get a good picture. The past, let's say, four games. Scoot went for 39, 6 and 4. He went for 16, 6 and 2. 21, 11 and 5. And 25, 8 and 7. If you're a mathematician, you can look at those averages off the top of my head. That's probably somewhere in the 20s. So Scoot, obviously, just has picked up the play a lot. Of course, you see people being like, he should start. And, you know, we need to make room for him to start, whether that's benching certain people, like I know Shaden recently got benched, or if that means trade packaging people, which I'm sure we'll talk about later in the show. But yeah, I'm happy. I'm very happy for Scoot. I'm happy for the Blazers because we're just in the part of the rebuild slash sucking era. We're just like, it's getting stale and it's boring. I'm a Giants fan, and I'm at the point where I just don't care anymore, and I don't want to get to that point with the Blazers. So it's really nice to see Scoot like do something. I hope this is not. I don't want to compare him to Daniel Jones and be like 2022 or whatever. Whenever Dimes won a playoff game on the road, so hopefully Scoot can carry it on and have some sustained success and build upon these performances and not get my hopes up like Mr. Dimes.
Honestly, if we're going on the football analogy. I'm a Panthers fan. I'd argue Scoot, if he continues his good play for a week or two more, he's on the Bryce Young arc right now, you know, written off after his rookie year, really struggled to start a second year, and now he's starting to pick it up. And hopefully by the end of the year, there's a ton of momentum. And now people are talking about the Panthers like they could make a little noise next year. And by noise, I mean possibly, knock on the door for a wild card spot or maybe a nine and eight division win. But that's really where Scoot's at right now because like we're finally seeing the potential come to light of why we drafted him. What's just hilarious is specifically to me, like I made this Scoot video and I was dogging him. I was trashing him and it was for right reason. You pulled up the advanced stats, you pulled up just the straight up stats and it was looking really bleak and it's still not the greatest, but just continuing with the analogy of Bryce Young, like Bryce Young's end of season stats look solid, but they don't look amazing. But if you take the little spurts that he went on throughout the season and specifically at the end of the year, he was looking like a top 15 quarterback. Mm-hmm. And going back to Scoot, like Scoot's looking like, I'm not going to put a label on anything, but he's just looking like a good NBA player at this point, if not elite. So like it's looking very fun right now for Scoot.
Well, and Scoot's biggest issue, I think, and you hammered it home, he was the best player in the NBA at shooting an incredibly low percentage for high percentage looks. He was really struggling to put ball in basket. Of course, he's super athletic. Of course, he can pass the ball. But he struggled with turnovers. I'm talking like this is a past thing. Like this could easily come back in a week. Mm-hmm. You know, we're obviously recording this like when his stock's the highest. So I wouldn't buy it right now. You should have bought it when I bought it. Maybe I sell. But
maybe you sell.
Yeah, I mean, he's shooting the ball great. He shot 8 for 10 from three. He's also getting to the, like, he had 20 points, six. I didn't include this in the stats, but he had 20 points, 12 of 12 from the free throw line. Like, to me, when I watch him in Summer League, even the couple, I mean, I didn't watch him a ton with the G League Ignite. Of course, I watched the Wimby games, which is probably why he went three in the first place. But, like, I always thought he had, like, a good shot, good form. Like, nothing was broke about it. It's just, you know, I don't know. Rookies aren't supposed to be good. Obviously, mm-hmm. you have your unicorns. But I think people were just so alarmed at how bad the advanced stats were that people were giving up pretty. Like, I mean, Sharp, for example, like, Sharp's older than Scoot. I mean, he's taken some steps, but, like, I still believe in Sharp. I think I was talking to my brother about this, big Blazer fan as well. And he was like, what do you think our ideal, like, how do you think the Blazers become a contender? And I was like, well, you get a leap from Scoot, you get a leap from Sharp. Denny continues to play, you know, hopefully, you know, Denny just does what he does, but on a good team. You draft a stud power forward, Cooper Flagg, hopefully, and Klingon takes a leap. And then hopefully in the trades for when you trade Simons, Grant, Ayton, like you fill out a rotation or maybe get a fringe starter for those guys, some picks. You hit on picks later in the decade. Like it because like Scoot is the pick that was the rebuild. Like he's mm-hmm. the rebuild. So yeah. The picture becomes much clearer. When he's playing better, the light at the end of the tunnel becomes a little brighter, a little more obvious. So that's why I'm excited. And personally, I believed in him partly because I did believe in him, partly because like I have to. I can't.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, it wasn't fun. Like when we were together for Christmas with fellow podcast host Cody, like that was. What, a week after I made that Scoot video, and like we were watching those games and we were almost like laughing because we were just like, what is he gonna do now? What bad shot is he gonna take? But like, I mean, for the last really all of January, he's played really well. And mm-hmm. like, if we really want to get in the nitty gritty, it's very funny how like since that video he's played well. He's averaging like 15 in January, which is a larger sample size. I want to say we've played at least like 10 games in January. He's shooting mm-hmm. the ball 50-40 right now, 50 from the field, 43 from three. So like, it's not like, yes, the massive games have come in the last four games. So it's like, he's averaging 25 in the last four games. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you tell me at the end of the year, if he continues it, if he ends the year at like 14 a game, it's all about the shooting splits for me. It's all about the lack of turnovers. It's about, you know, going off turnovers, assist to turnover ratio, like things like that. I'm not expecting Scoot. I don't think Scoot's ever going to be a high volume scorer. I think he could be like a.
He could be.
I mean, he could, but I don't. I personally don't see it. I think he's more like a. I'm struggling with a comparison right now, just because.
Well, if you want,
I was going to say Ja, but Ja can score, right. So like maybe he can't be like that. So
I mean, I don't know. The funny thing is, you're talking about. You mentioned turnovers. Like he is still. In the 13th percentile on turnovers, but like, I don't think people need to understand he was like first percentile. So like,
yeah,
he's seen improving. That sounds so lame. That sounds like such a loser mentality to be like, yay, you're 13th now. But like, look, man, it was really dark. It was dark. And honestly, like he's still shooting the ball pretty poorly. Like from two, he's in the 33rd percentile. But he's above average 3-point shooter right now.
And honestly, like if you probably do those stats for the last like month, he's probably
even better,
an above average player. Which, again, second year, he's not even 21 yet. I know it's so hard. I mean, for me, it's so hard to like sit here and say, well, we got to give him time, especially mm-hmm. when he looked like that bad his rookie year. But it's as long as we're seeing growth, and that was what the scary thing was about him starting off so poorly is because it was like. Wow, this is like not even growth. This is a step back. Mm-hmm. But again, we're not even at the All-Star break, and by the end of the year, he could be doing crazy things. Some people aren't growing on this team. Some people are just regressing and regressing really fast. And one of those players is DeAndre Ayton. And I'm just officially ready for him to just be off this team. It sucks that Klingon's hurt right now, so he can't get more run. It's crazy how we traded worst attitudes just for the player with the second worst attitude. in the Nurk for Ayton deal. If we we stole Kamara from them, so that's amazing. But man, yeah, Ayton is just absolutely pissing me off in these last couple weeks. It's so annoying because you see the talent and he just does nothing.
Yeah, people were saying it was a lose-lose, but we did get Kamara, so we won the trade. But yes, DA. Yeah, I mean, it's weird because like, what is his next? Like, does he have any more like playoff basketball? In it? Or is he just going to be one of those bigs that like, it's like no offense to like Vucevic, but is he just going to be like a stat guy for like bad teams?
Probably.
Or is he going to be like Whiteside and just mail it in?
Oh, I mean, I don't think it's like that. It's an impossible thing to figure out because it's like he wants to be the center of attention and he wants to take all these shots, but he's getting an opportunity to do that in Portland. So you would think he would have motivation to play defense, but he wants to win, but he was doing that in Phoenix and he wanted to leave. So I think it's just one of those things where it's like, obviously, this is a bad comparison, but maybe it's not. It's like KD. Like, I swear KD goes to a new place every 2 years and is like, I actually, even though I said I wanted this, I don't actually want this. Let me try something new. That's Ayton, but you can kind of be okay with it because it's Kevin Durant. Like, DeAndre Ayton is no Kevin Durant, so it's just annoying.
For sure. And I think with Ayton, the money talks, so he got paid.
Oh, yeah, and he got his bag.
He got his bag, which, again, though, like, you play like this, dude, like, you're not going to get paid again. And it's really frustrating from probably a Joe Cronin perspective is like, what you don't know when the right time to trade him is. I mean, probably at this point his value is his true like peak value is probably shot because it's just inconsistent. So like,
I don't know who trades for him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
If you're a playoff team, are you trading for DeAndre Ayton? I'm trying to think out there, like, of the teams it could be, like,
yeah,
probably no one would want him. So maybe you're looking at, like,
I'm trying to think.
I don't exactly know his contract situation. If he's like on the last year of his deal or anything, it's like, would a bad team go for him?
Maybe. Yeah. For like an expiring, like I don't know. I feel like there are enough teams out there that like Ayton talent wise is an upgrade. Like, but like he doesn't fit the personality or style. Like I thought Orlando initially, but like Ayton playing for the Magic, like he does more harm than good for them.
Yeah, and it's like you can at least see the blueprint of a team trading for Jeremy Grant, a team trading for Robert Williams, for Simons. Like
Robert Williams has more value than Ayton.
It's simply just because Robert Williams, Jeremy. Like Ayton, does nothing particularly elite. At least you know Robert Ayton Williams plays elite defense.
Ayton needs to have the ball in his hands. He does nothing without the ball.
So yeah, and when he has the ball in his hands, his best game is a good game. It's not, he can't do elite things.
But in the playoffs, like Rob Will is more valuable than Ayton because Rob Will can impact the game without the ball.
Yeah.
So when he was on Boston, like, I'm sorry, there's only one ball. Tatum and Brown are taking probably 35 shots combined, probably more. And so, like, you're not going to, in the playoffs, run a bunch of high post pick and pops with Ayton so he can get his 10 shots. Like, you're not doing that. That's how you lose playoff series. Like Ayton,
I'm really just confused. Like, I think I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think Ayton has a very low chance of getting traded. I think if anyone gets traded, it's, I mean, honestly, with Scoot's ascension, like, I think that just only kind of opens the door wider for Simons being gone. But then again,
yeah,
you just got to think trade deadline moves are normally not like any big moves. It's more like plug and play people. So a Jeremy Grant or Robert Williams I just think fits more because they provide more needs.
Those two are going to go. I think those two are going to go at the deadline. I think Simons, he could go. I think he's more of a summer type deal.
And I'm honestly, like, for the last 2 years, like, I've been all in on the Simons train, and he just hasn't lived up to it. Like, he's just, I said, I was expecting, like, 20-something points a game, and, like, he's not even shooting the ball well. It's not like he's not shooting shots. Like, he's better as a, he can't be your number one. Like,
it's weird, though.
I guess we don't know that about Sharp or Scoot, but we know that about Simons now.
Yes, Simons cannot be number one, but teams like, who would like feel like Simons? Of course, the Lakers are literally everywhere, but Simons on the Lakers? It's really nice. It's really good. Especially because
I remember,
like,
Orlando would always get signed. Like, yeah, Orlando ball handling for shooting.
I mean, there's a lot of guys. or sorry, a lot of teams that can use, like, again, we compare him to Tyler Hero all the time, and like Tyler Hero's played better than him this year. Last year, Simons was better than him. So, but like those types of guys, like Simons is still like a second option, I would say. And yeah, he's not playing well. I also think like situations mean a lot more than people think. I think Anfernee Simons is going to be more of a summer trade, while Rob Will and who else did we talk about?
Yeah, sorry guys. We just went through a nice 10, 15 minute technical difficulties just because microphones in the year of 2025 still don't work. But yeah, as you probably have been seeing, Wes's thing just cut out over and over again. So we really apologize on that, especially if you're on Spotify and it just went silent for like 5 seconds. Wes, are you with us?
I'm here. Are you here?
Okay, you are. That's beautiful. Okay, let's turn the page a little bit.
Please.
Let's talk about this week. Let's talk about the games we have this week.
Okay.
Because we're on a little... Talk again?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be in attendance for the Hornets game on Friday. Very excited for that. Second game of the year. Obviously, we went to a game together. Who did we play that game in Portland?
We played the Sixers.
We did play the Sixers. Yeah, that was a loss. I gotta think we have a nice chance against the Hornets. We're on our little road trip now. We play the Heat tonight. Of course, that's always a big one with the new budding rivalry with the Heat. Then we take on the Magic and then Hornets. And then on the 28th, so a week from now, we have our one nationally televised game of the entire year. Who is that against, Wes? Do you remember?
Milwaukee.
That is correct. I love how Wes is just chilling on the talking. That's big. We really apologize for the poor connection. But again, it's not about wins and losses with this team. I think we're pretty much at the point where we know where we're going to be. Give or take one or two spots. Washington is definitely going to be number one with the odds. Toronto is probably going to be worse than us. But honestly, and Utah is probably going to be worse than us. But other than that, I think New Orleans will pass us. We'll be the second worst team in the West. We'll have top five odds. I mean, it comes down to ping pong balls in the NBA. So like,
ping pong.
There's nothing you can do about it. And there's nothing. Again, we can just look at, you're not going to find growth necessarily, or you're not going to have to stare at the stats too much. It's literally just going to come down to, like, you got to watch the games, and you got to just, if you feel like you see growth, then there's growth. And specifically, while the stats have been there to back it up for Scoot over the last couple games, even just by watching the games, you can see the growth. He doesn't look like a deer in headlights anymore. He looks like a proven NBA player. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's all you can ask for from this team this year.
I wanted to ask you something. And I apologize for the audio now. I've now gone off the mic. This mic will be in the trash can in approximately 20 minutes. We will be getting a new mic soon. My question is, you said Blazers and Heat are a budding rivalry, which is very interesting considering they're literally polar like opposites on country. Like,
yeah. Man.
But we do play them, and that's a good segue into trade deadline things because the Heat – think we royally screwed their franchise. They were like, Dame, Jimmy, Bam, we'll give you freaking Hero and a bag of chips. And now Jimmy doesn't want to be there. Who's like, what's Bam doing these days? And Tyler Hero is still Tyler Hero. So trade deadline wise, I think we talked about Rob Will and someone else. And then, oh, not Aiden. We said Rob Will.
And Jeremy.
And then we said Simons for the summer. You said that about 20 minutes ago, but these people just got it about.
No, that's probably still in the pod, but that was probably like 2 minutes ago in the pod.
Oh, 2 minutes. Well, I've lost track of time with how long we've been trying to figure this stuff out. But do you agree that Simons is more likely a summer than a trade?
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest. I don't know if these people have already heard this or not. We'll have to go back and see in the edit. But just to summarize it all up, we really think Grant and Robert Williams will be on the move for the trade deadline. Simons feels more like a summer move. Ayton feels like a move that we would love to make right now, but just isn't possible because no one would want him on their team. I really think at this point it's a team that's like just a team that doesn't have a center that's not that great, that just does it just to do it. Like,
the Raptors?
Yeah.
But
maybe like So I a team that's got a player on like a 1 year deal and they're just like, sure, we'll trade this expiring contract for Aiden. We'll give it a go. And we just get off the contract. I guess that's best case scenario at this point. I don't know, man.
It's good business from Joe.
Yeah. Other than me going to the Blazer game, which will be fun, not much else to talk about. We really just wanted to touch on that Scoot. And we don't want... Jeez. We just wanted to talk about the Scoot resurgence. Hopefully that continues. And hopefully we get out another pod soon with a little more in-depth talk. Of course, when the trade deadline comes around, we always love to talk about it. But we don't want to make your ears bleed anymore with Wes's mic necessarily. And I'm not going to act like my mic is some high-quality mic either. Like, we're trying.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. That was not ideal. But if you had to take away things from this podcast, Scoot, good. Scoot, now good. Scoot, now good. DA, bad.
DA, bad.
DA, bad. Jeremy, probably gone. Speaking of, the Blazers wanted two firsts. I don't know how you're going to get two firsts for 79 overall, but that's neither here nor there. which, you know, Jeremy's 79 now. I feel like the value of our players, I mean, they're just not that high. It's just so easy to, like, if you're another team, to diminish that value and be like, he's not worth that much because, you know, the Blazers play losing basketball. Like, I don't know. Hopefully there's a team that bites on Jeremy. Maybe it's like a Memphis?
Lakers?
Yeah, they got Finney Smith, though.
Oh, true, they did. Yeah, and honestly, wouldn't be surprised if we just sit on our hands and we don't do anything, whether that's Joe problem or that's just we don't find the right deal. I'm kind of past the point where of course I care because I want us to always get better, but I'm past the point where I'm like, you have to get a deal done because, you know, that just hurt me too much over the past couple years. So
seriously,
we're just gonna we're gonna only focus on the positives. We're gonna see Scoot's playing well, so that makes me more excited to watch Blazer games. And Sharp is having a solid season. Nothing special out of him, but solid season. And then Denny's been a great addition. And, of course, Kamara's going to be – Kamara could be a guy for the future because he's
We went to the Sixers game. Denny had a double-double. He had 18 points and 10 turnovers. Incredible game from Denny.
Yeah, dude, that's insane.
Yeah, that's wild. I got nothing else because you guys probably hate hearing me talk with my mic right now. So
yeah, we were a little rusty out of the gates. It's been a long time since we did a podcast. If you want to see more quality, go check out our TikTok and
more
the RCR
quality?
Show.
You said more quality, as in this is quality.
No, I mean quality. It's more. Go see more quality things.
Yes.
So that's it, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to go follow any of our other things out there. And all you guys that commented on the Scoot video, comment now. What do you think? Has Scoot improved, or do you think this is just flash in the pan? And come February 7th, he'll be back to his old habits. I'd love to hear from you guys. We will be reading the comments. So,
do you think Scoot is better or my mic situation?
Scoot is better than your mic situation by far. Scoot doesn't frustrate me nearly as much as that did over the last 20 minutes. We will see you guys next week. Peace.